This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard. I'm Will Doctor, bringing you the latest on the world of golf here in the middle of this 10-day offseason. Happy holidays to all. We'll start looking into the 2026 Crystal Ball in today's show. We'll preview all four of the 2026 majors. We will get to the Masters. We'll get to the tradition unlike any other at Augusta National, which will take place in the first full week of April per usual. Rory McIlroy will be defending his title as he beat Justin Rose in a playoff last year at the Masters to complete the Grand Slam. We'll get to Scottie Scheffler, who will be looking for his third green jacket. You know, he won in 2022, 2024, and just came off his fourth Player of the Year award. We'll get to Scheffler, and we'll discuss all of the qualifiers who were able to get into the top 50 on the official world golf rankings and get their invite into the Masters. Pardon me. We'll get to Sam Stevens. We'll get to Ryan Gerard. We'll get to Johnny Kiefer. These are all players who were really playing the entire fall, you know, to try to get into the top 50 and earn a spot into the Masters, and they did just that. We'll look at some of their odds. You know, Stevens, Gerard, Kiefer, all 100 plus to 1, 101 plus at this point. So we'll get to some of those sleepers. We'll get to Justin Rose, who's at 70 to 1 right now for the Masters. We will get into the PGA Championship, the second major, which will take place at Aronimink in Newton Square, Pennsylvania. I would say the major headline that we'll get to there is Jordan Spieth and the potential of Spieth completing the Grand Slam. He opens there at 70 to 1. You know, Spieth did not have the, once again, the greatest of 2024s. You know, still in the midst of kind of figuring out how to get back to that 2017 performance. When you look at the numbers, when you look at the data, Spieth had a bunch of good finishes this year. Tied fourth at the Phoenix Open, solo fourth at the Byron Nelson, tied seventh at Memorial. It was not a wash of a year by any means. Really struck the ball well as far as his approach play compared to the last 2 years. For Jordan Spieth, it's just about trying to find out how to get back to that all-world putting performance that we saw him in from, you know, 2015 to 2017 when he was winning majors. He'll be looking to complete the Grand Slam at Aronimink this year, and he'll also go back to Royal Birkdale for the Open Championship. That's where we saw Jordan win his last major there in 2017. So we'll get to that in the last segment, and then in the third segment, we'll obviously preview the U.S. Open at Shinnecock as they will host their sixth U.S. Open. As far as the end of last week and how the 2025 year concluded, Jaden Schaefer won back-to-back titles at the Dunhill and the Mauritius. Those two playoffs were actually unbelievable. You look back at the Dunhill, you know, Schaefer had to make an eagle on Sean Norris in the playoff there at Royal Johannesburg. And then last week when basically Jaden Schaefer had Ryan Gerard looking to win that golf tournament, the Mauritius, Schaefer came back, won with another eagle in a playoff. This guy has won two tournaments in a row, both with eagles, both in playoffs. Jaden Schaefer's a big name to watch out for. Doesn't have his invitation to Augusta just yet, but that was two phenomenal performances to end the 2025 year, even though the Dunhill and the Mauritius are part of the 2026 DP schedule. The other major headline this week was five-time major champion Brooks Koepka and his announcement that he would be leaving LIV Golf. You know, Koepka put out a statement thanking Yasser Al-Ramayan for the $100 million. You know, Koepka certainly did his job for LIV Golf over the last 3 to 4 years. I mean, he won five times along with one major at the 2026 PGA. And you'll obviously see some publications and media elites saying that, you know, Koepka was not the showman or the salesman that LIV Golf needed him to be. I think there might be a little bit of truth to that. You know, he is certainly not the showman that Bryson DeChambeau is, and you know, certainly doesn't sell to different parts of the globe like a John Rahm or Joachim Niemann does. You know, Koepka certainly did his own thing over the years with the Saudis. You know, he stuck to the Nike scripting. He never saw Koepka in the Smash golf club uniforms, and who would be wearing the Smash golf club merch with how poor of a job LIV's marketing and branding team does? You know, Koepka was hit or miss when it came to making himself available to the media. I did see that firsthand at LIV Dallas. I'm not sure LIV is even coming back to Texas anymore. You know, I they're done in Houston. They were one and done at Golf Club of Houston, and I think their last year was maybe their last year at Merido, unless they're going to keep that a regular season golf event. I'm not sure. They're going to have to get the latest. But back to Koepka, I did see firsthand at LIV Dallas. They did a little, you know, pre-tournament party with the media, with the players, and Brooks was the only one who did not make himself available to media. He kind of, you know, he walked in the room with an all-black suit on and you know, with the sunglasses on and really just a different kind of presence. He is someone that the PGA Tour misses. Obviously, someone who has five major wins. That is someone the Tour wants to have, you know, here at home. But you can't say, regardless of his availability, the media, what he wore, he still had five LIV Golf wins in 3 years on that tour. So he absolutely did his job. Brooks was never a salesman or a showman. He's a guy who's going to show up and try to win, and maybe a guy who's not necessarily going to care too much about regular season golf events, but is certainly going to be there at the big-time tournaments, as we've seen at the U.S. Open and PGA over the years. And not only did he win the 2023 PGA with LIV, also finished runner-up to John Rahm at the 2023 Masters. So if we look at his performance over the last 3 years, besides maybe a couple injuries, I would say Koepka absolutely did his job for the Saudis. Now, he did cite that he would be spending more time with his family for the time being. You know, Brooks, and I when you look at what he's going to be doing over 2026, I think we're going to definitely see Brooks play in the four majors, and maybe we see him play some European Tour events. Koepka never resigned from the PGA Tour. So, you know, he's not necessarily in the same situation as a Hudson Swafford. You know, Hudson Swafford played five conflicting LIV tournaments while still a member of the PGA Tour in 2022. He was granted a release for zero of them. So Swafford was given a one-year suspension for each of those tournaments he played in 2022, and he is now banned from the PGA Tour until 2027. Koepka never resigned from the PGA Tour. He finished out the 2022 season, did not reapply for PGA Tour membership in 2023, and then went and signed a $100 million deal with LIV. So he is not in any long-term trouble with the PGA Tour. I think by 2027, this year will play out by Kapalua or Sony in 2027, Koepka will be returning to the PGA Tour and welcome back with open arms. So, once again, in 2026, I wouldn't expect Brooks to play a very heavy schedule. You know, he just cashed in $100 million. He can spend time with his kids, play the majors, play the DP World Tour. And let me tell you, Koepka really started to find his game at the back half of 2025. He did win. You know, he did not have a win on LIV in 2025. His last LIV win was in Greenbrier in August of 2024. Koepka did have a lot of struggles on LIV for the majority of this year, was not enjoying his time there. He did pop up momentarily at the U.S. Open at Oakmont, where he finished tied 12th. But the first report that Koepka was going to leave LIV was by Sports Business Journal at the end of August, after, you know, when you look at his performance after the U.S. Open in mid-June. After that, he went tied 32nd in Andalusia, miscut at the Open, tied 47th at LIV UK, tied 29th at LIV Chicago, 50th at LIV Indianapolis, and then the team smash did not do much at the team final in Michigan at the end of August. That is when Sports Business Journal hinted that that Koepka could be done with LIV. And then, you know, Koepka did something interesting. Obviously, he made it into the big time of professional golf through the European Tour. When you go look back at Koepka's start in professional golf, his run began on the European Tour. And after LIV's season was over this year, he turns around and plays 4 DP World Tour events. Miscut at the Irish Open, miscut at the PGA Championship, but then in those last two, Koepka's last two events of 2025, he goes solo 4th at the French Open and tied 15th at the Dunhill, where he picked up over a shot on the greens in both, really putted well, struck the ball nicely. You know, when you look at Koepka's numbers for the 2026 majors, he is 50-1 to win the Masters, 40-1 to win the PGA, 40-1 to win the U.S. Open, and 50-1 to win the Open at Birkdale. With how limited his schedule could be in 2026, I don't really advise jumping on any of these all that early. I think, as he obviously does not play the first half of the 2026 PGA Tour season in California or Florida, I think by the time he gets to Augusta, you're going to see his number bump from 50-1 to 70-1 just because he hasn't played much. But it was interesting to see Koepka start to turn it on to end his 2025 season. We're still 3-plus months out from Augusta, so I would not be jumping on any of Koepka's futures at this point in time. But it is interesting to discuss how that hunger is going to return. We obviously know Koepka is someone who, when he's mentally, he can mentally check out, kind of pack in a season anytime he wants to. But as soon as he puts his eye on the prize, sets a goal, he gets back in the winner's circle in the snap of a finger. 713-780-ESPN is the number. Love to hear your thoughts on Koepka. Love to hear your thoughts on any other players you're interested in as far as the 2026 majors throughout the show. You also had another LIV golf retiree this week. Mito Pereira is done with LIV. Technically, he got relegated from LIV, where he was competing for Team Torque. This is another player who I think we will see again. Mito Pereira is most known for coughing up on himself down the stretch of the 2022 PGA at Southern Hills. He is a phenomenal player. But when you look at some of his decisions in golf, dating back to when he was a kid, it's not surprising that after probably a largely substantial payday with LIV, a couple years of struggling in golf after the 22 PGA, Mito's probably going to put the clubs down for a year or two, and then we'll probably see him return to the DP World Tour and try to make a run into the top 10 on the order of merit, a la what Eugenio Chikara is trying to do right now. And what I mean by the decisions Mito has made over the course of his career, I think when Mito was 14, he came to IMG Academy from Chile to try to, you know, obviously become a much better golfer, get ready for the pro ranks at a young age. And he burned himself out and ended up quitting golf. And did not pick up a club when he was 15 and 16 years old. And then he returned to golf, you know, competed for Chile's national team, turned pro, you know, made his way up PGA Tour Latin America, now America's fairly quickly, got PGA Tour status, and then signed a major deal with LIV. So he is someone who is obviously probably pretty bummed out that he got relegated by LIV and is no longer competing alongside his good friend and fellow countryman Joaquin Niemann. But I think we'll see Mito back on the golf course probably by 2028. Might not hear from him for a bit. I do think unless his heart is in another spot, unless he wants to go into coaching, maybe go coach at the Niemann Academy alongside some of the great Chilean amateurs, Claudio Correa. We'll get to some other guys a little bit later on as well. We will get to the Masters preview, go into depth on some players who made it into the top 50 by the end of the fall, Alex Noren, Christopher Ryan, Michael Kim, who broke through after a seven-year winless drought at the French Open, played his way into the Masters. We'll get to all those players here on the other side. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor on ESPN Houston. Back after this.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, and many others, lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Now you can experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your family and friends. See you on the course.
You're listening to The Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard, 713-780-ESPN is the number to get your thoughts in here on the 2026 majors. Look at the Masters tournament. The field is up to 86 players at this point in time, with 13 players qualifying last week to the top 50 in the official World Golf Rankings, and you can still secure an invite at some point over the start of the season by winning a PGA Tour event or getting yourself into the top 50 within a week of the Masters. But as far as players who got a Masters invite in their stocking by Christmas, you know, Ryan Gerard top-fored it at the Mauritius to go from 57th to inside the top 50. You had Alex Noren make his way into the top 50 with two wins this fall, including a runner-up finish at the Hero. You had Christopher Ryan of Norway get an invite to Augusta. He won in Europe twice this year, including at the Nedbank towards the end of the fall, and also had Michael Kim break into the top 50 after winning the French Open. You know, broke through after a seven-year winless drought, and he is 300-1 to win the green jacket in April via Bet Online. And if you're looking more stateside, you had guys like Michael Brennan and Johnny Kiefer play their way from developmental tours to the Masters all within a year. You look at Johnny Kiefer, and he dominated the season on the Korn Ferry Tour, so much so that he was able to get his ranking inside the top 50, and he's 500-1 to win in his debut appearance at Augusta. In Brennan's case, he started the year on the Americas Tour, dominated there between Canada and Latin America, and got an exemption into the fall at the Utah PGA Tour event at Black Desert, and won that which sent him into the top 50, and he's into the Masters as well. So a lot of interesting sleepers to look at for the Masters tournament. Obviously, you have Scheffler there as the favorite at plus 240. Defending champion Rory McIlroy is there as the second favorite at 8-1. We'll get to all those players. 713-780-ESPN is the number. Tanner in Trinity, you're next on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Tanner, what's going on, my friend?
How you doing this morning, Will?
Hey, Tanner, good to hear your voice, my friend. Happy holidays. I hope it was a good one with the family. What do you got going on this morning?
It was. I'm just looking up some Masters predictions. It's never too early to dip into a little breakfast while you're looking at some picks. So I'm going to give you a scenario. There's a guy who has finished top 10 three of his last 8 years and top 20 six of his last 8 years, and every single year, top 20, you're getting him at plus money. Top 10, you're getting him at big plus money. That is Georgia Houston boy Patrick Reed.
Wow.
In times that we live in, everything always changes. I like going with something that doesn't change. Patrick Reed, every time he suits it up at Augusta National, he performs. He makes the cuts every single time. Also, another one going at it, and I hate stealing your thunder.
No. Tanner, before you get to your second one, I just want to say I absolutely love the Reed pick. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, especially in recent times, you look since 2023, he's gone tied fourth, tied 12th to solo third at the Masters, and still playing incredibly solid at 35 years old on LIV Golf. You look at the season he had. Won LIV Dallas in Merido towards the end of June. Had a very commendable fall in the DP World Tour. Tied third at the BMW PGA Wentworth and a couple top 20s there in Spain and the Philippines. Listen, excellent pick as far as P. Reed at the Masters. Always a good sleeper there. Let's hear your second one, Tanner. Go ahead.
Exactly. And I feel he just keeps it very under the radar. I feel like Vegas has never given him quite the respect he deserves for the top 20s, but stealing off your thunder and what you were saying, I like dark horses. I could sit here and bore everybody. Who do I really think is going to win? It'll probably be Scottie Scheffler like it always is. I could see Johnny Kiefer making a Sam Bennett type run. Will he win it? I don't think so. It's hard to win a golf tournament, obviously. But all I'm saying is if when Sunday rolls around, if you're scrolling through your app and you see Johnny Kiefer's name somewhat close to the top, I wouldn't be that surprised.
And, Tanner, you obviously follow professional golf extremely close. I mean, the run that Kiefer has had to get into the top 50, it's almost like looking at Scottie's resume, but on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, Kiefer wins the Veritex Bank Championship in Arlington at the end of April. Did he win twice? Yeah, he won basically three times between Americos and Korn Ferry Tour in the matter of a year to get in there. I mean, 500-1 right now to win. I think by the time we get to the Masters week, Tanner, I think Kiefer's going to be a great top 40 option. Putts it well enough to hang in there on the greens at Augusta. Obviously a flush ball striker. Maybe a couple question marks there with the chipping. I know superstar golf coach Brian Gathright will have that aspect of his game dialed in by the time they get to Augusta, though. Absolutely love those two players in Reed and Kiefer. Tanner, I'm gonna throw one idea in your head, and I want to get everyone's thoughts on Koepka and the fact that he's leaving LIV, maybe going to take some time off, but also could play overseas a little bit in Asia and in Europe. You're looking at Koepka for the Masters at 50-1 right now, 40-1 for the PGA, 40-1 for the U.S. Open, and 50-1 at the Open. My thought with that, Tanner, is that, you know, he might not even play any golf before the Masters. I don't know if he has some sort of deal with the PGA Tour right now where it's like, hey, I'm also not going to play the DP World Tour. I'll just play the majors, and then I'll come back in 2027. And if that's the case, I feel like we might get Koepka at 80-1 rolling into Masters week. What are your thoughts there, my friend?
if you give me Brooks Koepka at anything over, say, 65 to 1, I'm going to sprinkle it. However, looking at recent form, looking at everything that's going on, guys will talk about, oh, he likes to beat to the sound of his own drum, but that's genuinely a dude that beats to his own drum. What he wants to do, he's going to do it. What he says he wants to do, that's the decision he's going to make. I can't fathom even Brooks Koepka with how dominant he is in majors, how great, I mean, one of the best ball strikers you'll ever watch up close. I can't fathom a world where somebody can win one of the four majors not playing, not being at least somewhat active. If he's not going to play any DP events, if he's not going to play in any events, I can't see a world where he even makes the cut at a major, any one of them, to be honest. However, if I think there's some answers that are going to come to some questions within the next few weeks. I do think with you've got Mito retiring, you've got Brooks leaving, I believe it's Liv holding true to what they're saying about they're not going to give any more guaranteed money. However, I might be a little concerned that we might be towards the end of one of the best golfers of our generation in Brooks Koepka.
Wow, 35 years old, and great call, Tanner. Well done there. I completely agree. I'd have to look at these first couple events to start the 2026 season to see if there's any spots in Europe that Koepka might go to. I mean, Dubai Invitational, Dubai Desert, Bahrain Championship there at the end of January, Qatar Masters, Kenya Open. Maybe you see Brooks at the end of February at the South African Open Championship. But once again, I think Tanner's spot on that we're gonna find out some more details here in the next few weeks if Brooks is going to go back and really grind it out on the DP World Tour over this year in between the majors, or just play the four majors, have a tough time getting ready for them, and then we'll see him, you know, on a full-time PGA Tour schedule in 2027. Tanner, I appreciate your call, my friend. Have a great Saturday.
You too, my man. Thank you.
We'll talk soon. This is the Golf Hour on ESPN Houston. Back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
I would say the only sleeper for the Masters that I'm looking at about 4 months out, you can love Scheffler, McIlroy, Oberg. I don't have a problem with any of those picks. I won't be investing in a ticket in those three at this point in time. I mean, Scheffler opens at Augusta at +240 on BetOnline, 3-1 on DraftKings. You know, he's a two-time champion, 1-22 and 24. Scheffler finished three shots outside of the McIlroy Rose playoff last year before winning two of the next three majors. And he's never finished worse than 18th in five total appearances at Augusta. So would it be a bad ticket to buy right now? No, but I'm not going to jump on 3-1 either. As far as why it is that number, there is a reason. He's coming off four straight Player of the Year seasons, and going into 2026, we'll have an opportunity to close out the career Grand Slam at Shinnecock. So it would not surprise anyone if Scheffler came out and won a third green jacket in April. And that's the same with Rory McIlroy. I mean, you've only had three players defend their title in Masters history. That's Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods. Faldo went back-to-back in playoffs in 89 and 90. Woods won in back-to-back in 01 and 02. And I know Rory didn't win a ton in 2025 after securing the jacket. Did win twice before at Pebble and Sawgrass. But his play was still plenty commendable in the back half of the year. That included a win at home at the Irish Open, as we spoke about last week after he won the British Personality Award. And Rory will absolutely be a threat come Sunday at Augusta with his track record there. I don't. But beyond the win, once again, I don't see any reason to jump on 8-1 for McIlroy at Augusta at this point. And as far as Ludvig Åberg, he's the third favorite right now for the Masters at 14-1, which is a ridiculous number, really, for a player who has not won a major yet. I wouldn't take anything on Åberg below 20-1. I do expect him, though, to strike early again on the West Coast swing to start 2026. We saw him do it last spring at the Genesis at Torrey Pines for his second PGA Tour win. Åberg was someone we had picked to win a green jacket in our 2025 futures after he had a runner-up finish to Scotty in 2024. And Åberg had a golden opportunity to win last year and ruin McIlroy's Sunday before making, you know, triple bogey on the 71st and 72nd hole to drop all the way to 7th. So that was extremely unfortunate, not only for Åberg, but also for Swedish golf fans who are dying to see Åberg push a nudge at Scheffler over the next decades. You had a ton of solid Swedes over the years who have tried to make a run at the country's first green jacket. Yes, for Parnevik, Jonas Blix, Henrik Stenson. Åberg, he's looking to be the first. I'm not taking the bait at 14-1 at this point in time. Other top favorites, you know, for Augusta, DeChambeau at 16-1. I don't have enough confidence in his iron play yet to think he's going to be a threat for a green jacket. You have Xander Schauffele at 18-1, the two-time major champion. John Rahm at 16-1 alongside DeChambeau. I would say the sleeper I'm looking at 4 months out, the guy with some value at this point in time, has to be Justin Rose at 70-1 on BetOnline. He is the only player other than Ben Hogan to lose in a playoff at the Masters more than once. And really, it was no fluke for Justin Rose. When you look back at last April, he had a sensational 2025 campaign, which included his 11th PGA Tour win in, at the beginning of August at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Also had a top 20 at the Open Championship. So I'm just talking about value here. This is a major champion. Justin Rose won the 2013 U.S. Open, competed in his seventh Ryder Cup for Team Europe at Bethpage just a few months ago and proved to be a very worthy asset at 45 years old for Team Europe. Played spectacular around Bethpage. I think before it's all said and done that Justin Rose is going to get his green jacket. Kind of like Sergio did was Sergio 2019? Let me confirm that here. I believe Sergio Garcia's green jacket was 2019. I just want to make sure I have this right here. Sergio Garcia's green jacket was 2017. Anyways, who was 2019? 2018 was Patrick Reed. 2019 was Tiger Woods back in the winner's circle. Got to get that right. Got to nail that down. But I do believe that some older vets, guys like Tiger, guys like Sergio, that you're able to win and contend at Masters later on in your career versus a venue like Shinnecock for the U.S. Open or a big PGA venue like Quail Hollow. I was going to say Aronimink, but that is not the longest PGA venue of all time. Speaking of Aronimink, you know, that's the second major. It'll host the 108th PGA. Aronimink stretches out to 7,200 yards. It's really a placement thinker's golf course, master crafted by Donald Ross in the late 1800s. It has hosted one major over the years back in 1962, and Gary Player won by a shot over Bob Golby. 62 was really an unbelievable major season with Palmer winning the Masters in the Open. But Aronimink's going to be a great site, especially with the history on the line as far as Jordan Spieth potentially completing the Grand Slam, and he closes at 70-1. Opens at 70-1 to win the PGA at Aronimink. Shinnecock will host the third U.S. Open. host a third major at the U.S. Open. It'll be the sixth time Shinnecock has hosted the U.S. Open. That'll take place from June 15th to the 21st. You look at Shinnecock's past champions. Ray Floyd won with one under by two over Chick Beck and Lanny Watkins in 1986. Corey Pavin won the U.S. Open at Shinnecock in 95 with even par. That was enough to edge the great Greg Norman by two shots. 2024, Retief Goosen won by two shots over Phil Mickelson. In 2018, Brooks Koepka got it done at Shinnecock by one over Tommy Fleetwood. And then for the fourth major, Royal Birkdale will host the Open Championship. That'll be the 11th time that Birkdale has hosted the British Open. Birkdale, it's hosted two historic Ryder Cups, both in the 60s, most notably in 1969 when the Cup finished 16-16, finished in a tie after Jack Nicklaus famously conceded a three-foot putt to Tony Jacklin. That was one. When you look at the 69 Ryder Cup, that was one of the, in the concession between Nicklaus and Jacklin, that was one of the all-time great acts of sportsmanship and really could have been the most important tournament in golf history when it comes to courtesy and etiquette. You look what happened at the 69 Ryder Cup before that concession. It was all cutthroat. You had British captain Eric Brown telling his players not to search for opponents' balls that were in the rough. You had British players putting on the greens in competition with USA players going and standing right next to them to try to distract them before putting. Think about this stuff was acceptable in pro golf in the late 60s. Sam Snead was beside himself that Jack conceded the putt to Jacklin and then that the Cup ended in a tie. But Nicklaus and Jacklin would go on to become legends. Nicklaus, obviously, the greatest ever. They captained against each other twice in the 80s, and Nicklaus obviously won 18 major championships. So that is an epic sight, Royal Birkdale. And obviously we saw Jordan Spieth won the last time the Open was contested there in 2018. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to Timmy time on the other side. Hear his predictions as far as the 2026 majors. This is the Golf Hour on ESPN Houston. Back after this.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, Babe Zaharias, Tom Kite, and many more lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Learn about the historic golf courses and the individuals that promoted the game through leadership, teaching, and passion. Texas and golf go hand in hand in the history of the game and camaraderie. Together we can honor the past, celebrate the present, and inspire future generations of Texas golfers. Golf is a sport for everyone, and I encourage you to experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your golf family and friends. That's texasgolfhof.org. See you on the course.
You're listening to the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, I want to hear your thoughts on the 2026 majors. We've gone through all four of them, giving you a little bit of background. I haven't made any picks yet as far as outright futures. I want to hear your thoughts. I am interested in Cam Young at 50-1 at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. I'm interested in Jordan Spieth to complete the slam at Aronimink at 70-1. I'm a little curious where him and McCormick are at with the swing, where he feels with the putter going into 2026. And obviously the major question of today's show is Brooks Koepka leaving LIV and what he's going to do in 2026. Is Koepka only going to play four majors? Is he going to be allowed to go play the DP World Tour? How quick is he going to be back on the PGA Tour? You know, those are the things that some of the things that we're discussing on today's show. Let's get to your call. 713-780-ESPN is the number. Timmy time. Timmy, welcome to the show, brother. What do you got for us this morning? Timmy time, fire away.
And so as we've been, you've been discussing this morning on the majors, there's a guy that I absolutely love to win his first major this upcoming season. And he's a guy that his, if I'm not mistaken, four top tens in majors. And that's Victor Hovland. And the year he's had this year is, quite frankly, not talked about enough. Here's a guy that was positive with his irons every single week except two this year, and one being the British Open, where he was slightly negative. So Hovland, as we know, the year before was one of his worst years as a professional, struggling around the green, struggling with his irons, struggling with the putter, but he switched back his old coach, and look at the results we've seen. And he's a guy that in 2023 finished tied second at the PGA, 2024 finished third, U.S. Open finished third this past year, in 2023 finished tied 19th. He has a tied fourth place finish at the British Open, a tied 7th at the Masters in 2023, and a tied 12th at the British Open in 2021. So I don't know about you, Doc, but I think he has the recipe and got the chops to get it done in a major.
Tim, you're hitting the nail on the head. I think, Tim, at 28 years old, I know you just alluded to it, you know, the major championship pedigree and experience that Hovland has at just 28 is really unbelievable. I mean, starting back in 2019, you know, just the amount of times that he has been in contention going into Sunday in a major is off the charts. And I know you and I both, I mean, going into Sunday this past year at Oakmont, when he was trying to chase down Tyrrell Hatton and eventual winner J.J. Spahn and Robert McIntyre, I kind of thought going into that Sunday at Oakmont that Victor Hovland was going to be the one to get it done. Let me give you a couple numbers here as far as Hovland, 35-1 at Augusta. And you know, you're also spot on that, you know, you look at how he played over the fall. When you look at Victor's 2025, obviously the start of the year was choppy in California. He then goes to Florida, wins Valspar, and really since then he has been at least a top 25 machine with, as of late, on the European Tour since August, racking up three top 10s in his last five starts. So he is certainly hot going into the 2026 season, and he's been positive with the chipping over his last five events, and I think we all know that his biggest struggle can be the chipping at times. At times. Now, looking at his numbers for 2026, 35-1 to win the Masters, 25-1 to win the U.S. Open, 30-1 to win the PGA, and 28-1 to win the British. Is there a site you like him most, Tim? Is it Augusta? Where, you know, he finished tied 7th in 2023. Do you like him at Shinnecock, one beast of a golf course, or the PGA at Aronimink, which is a little bit more of a thinker's course, kind of like Innisbrook at Valspar, where he last won? Or do you see it happening on the links across the pond there at the famous Birkdale? If you had to pick one for Hovland right now, which one would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you go all of them? Or do you go all of them?
PGA Championship.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm taking him in the 2026 PGA Championship at Almanac and Philly this year. I think, as you said, it fits his game the most perfect out of all the four venues they're playing this season. I think Hovland, it fits him perfectly. The question is, how his game will be rolling in. That's going to be the big question. But if he gets off to the season off a quick start, which I am not sure quite yet, if he's playing in the DP Hero Dubai Classic and those two events to start the season. But if he starts over there and gets off to a hot start in Dubai, maybe picks up a win, that bodes very well for the upcoming season for Victor Hovland on the PGA Tour and four majors.
He is one of the freak ball strikers of our generation. Seven-time PGA Tour winner at just 28 years old. He's already qualified for three Ryder Cups and won a U.S. Amateur back in 2018. Tim, great pick there as far as someone to look out for going into the 2026 major season in Victor Hovland. And I think Aronimic fits his game perfectly. I think the last player, Tim, we need to talk about, I want to get your feel as a fan on what Brooks Koepka is going to do this year. Once again, as I've said in this show, I don't know if he has made a deal with the tour that says, look, I'm going to leave LIV, and then I'll only play the majors for 1 year, won't play anything else worldwide, and then I can get back on tour in 2027. Or coming off, you know, Koepka coming off a pretty decent fall on the DP World Tour, put up some great results, fourth at the French Open, tied 15th at the Alfred Dunhill. You know, will he be allowed, will we see him play some of these early European events in 2026? As you said, Dubai, here at Dubai Desert Classic at Emirates GC, Bahrain, Qatar Masters, Kenya Open. I mean, at 35 years old, I'm not sure we see Koepka really go grind it out again in Europe. I'm not sure he really has to go do that. But are all these numbers, Tim, do you think they're a little inflated for Koepka at the 2026 majors at this point? 50-1 at the Masters, 40-1 at the PGA, 40-1 at Shinnecock, and 50-1 at Birkdale. If he doesn't play for the next 3 months, I think we absolutely get a better number than 50-1 on Koepka heading into Augusta. Let me hear your thoughts there as a fan and where you want to see Koepka go.
You know, ideally, I wish he was at that 75-80-1 number, because he has not played well on LIV. But the thing is, you can't prepare for major tournaments on the LIV circus. There's no cut. And if it was up to me, I think the PGA should welcome him back. I think the majority of the guys on tour, would not be against him being back on tour. He isn't just anybody. He's a five-time major champion. Yeah. He is somebody that when he was in his prime, he was kind of as dominant almost as any guy except Scottie Scheffler. And his mentality, he shows up in majors. And he has the resume to say, hey, I'm one of the best to play golf. Let me get back on tour, because he cares more about his legacy when he retires from the game of golf. He wants to go down in the history books, record books. He wants to be known as a legend of the game of golf, not someone who took a big check and went to live. And I think that might be his five major champions might get overshadowed with him leaving to live, which is unfortunate, because there hasn't been many golfers to win five major championships, Bob.
No, there hasn't. And Tim, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he feels like he has some rewriting to do after, you know, taking the $100 million and kind of, I don't want to say disappearing to live, because he has won a major in the stretch that he's been there in the 2023 PGA. But I hope to see Koepka, as you said, return to the PGA as soon as possible. I know it's tough to just let him back in, and then what do you do about Bryson and Rahm and some of these other players? But I feel Koepka's gone about it the right way. He never went and played a Saudi tournament as a PGA Tour member, let his membership run out in 2022, and then switched tours the right way. I hope we see a rejuvenated Koepka, someone who not only wants to go win more majors, but go hit some of those stops on the PGA Tour that maybe he got a little burnt out of. Maybe see him play a little bit more of a complete schedule if his body can manage it. I'm fired up for the future of Koepka. You know, unbelievable run he had between 17 and 23. Two-time U.S. Open winner, three-time PGA winner. I'm fired up to see what he's going to do in 2026 and beyond. Tim, great call. We're out of time here on the Golf Hour on ESPN Houston. We will talk next week.